Mr. Johnson's wife from Johnson's South Frolic and Grow Coat present Marion and Jim Jordan as Silver McGee and Molly with Donald Norris, Bill Thompson, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Life Begins When You're in Love. Are the colors of your kitchen linoleum as bright and fresh as the day you first picked it out, or have they become dull and faded? Do you know the easy way to keep the colors of linoleum bright and cheerful? The answer was Johnson's self-polishing Glow Coat. Glow Coat turns a dull, lifeless floor into a beautiful floor in 20 minutes. It requires no rubbing or buffing. That's why it's all self-polishing. And that's just one of the reasons why Glow Coat has become America's number one floor polish. You can use Glow Coat on your varnished or painted wood floors, too. It gives a hard, gleaming polish that's easy to keep clean and spotless. If you spill something on a floor protected with Glow Coat, you simply mop it up with a damp cloth. Now, if you aren't using Glow Coat on your linoleum floors, order some tomorrow from your dealer. Remember the name, GLO-COAT. Johnson Self-Polishing Glow Coat. There's a gay Halloween party in progress tonight, given by the McGee's next door neighbors, the Throckmorton T. Gildersleeves. And among the guests, you'll find many names from Wistful Vista's Blue Book, plus two names from Wistful Vista's Telephone Book, Bill McGee and Molly.
Not quite right.
Why, McGee, you had no business sleeping in Mr. Gildersleeve's dressing.
Oh, that's quite all right, folks. Always glad to have the guests make themselves at home. If you'd like to check over my last bank statement, McGee, you'll find it in the desk in the library.
You must be mistaken, Gildersleeve. I didn't see it, and I went all through that desk when I was looking for the cigar.
Heavenly days, McGee, don't be so snooty.
I'm snooty. I'm just a little. Incidentally, Gildersleeve, there's a letter on your desk from your tailor. You mean to tell me you pay $85 for them suits of yours?
Why, yes, I do, McGee.
My goodness, McGee buys four of them for that price, don't you?
Is that so? You mean he buys his clothes?
What?
Well, if you'll excuse me, folks, I'll see how the other guests are getting along. Have a good time.
What does he mean, do I buy my clothes? Where does he think I get them?
Well, if you get him where I think he thinks you get him, I think he'll think twice about asking.
Hello there, Molly.
Hello, Pepper. Gee, we're having fun.
What are you doing, Mr. Peacock?
Oh, playing games.
Come on in the other room. Who am I going to do some sleight of hand tricks?
Oh, well. Come on,
ladies and gentlemen, for my first astounding bit of wizardry, I think it's $5 bill. Don't seem to have $5 bill. But will someone from the group cost me $5 bill?
Why, $5 bill, Boomer? Can't you do it with a wand?
Certainly not. 5 is a magical number. 5 pennies and a nickel, 5 nickels and a quarter, 5 quarters and a dollar and a quarter. Oh, thank you, Mr. Wilcox. Thank you, sucker. Now, watch me closely. Presto, abracadabra, zingo, and the bill has disappeared. And kindly without the use of mirrors or concealed wires.
Thank you. That's very good.
All out quietly. Now with another simple twist of the wrist, I might say a slight pang of regret, I will restore the $5 bill. Presto, abracadabra, zingo, and here Well, well, must go to sleep somewhere. That thing's been a bad.
Oh, no, you don't, Boomer. Walk over that skin.
Come, come, uncool. Surely you're not accusing Horatio K. Boomer of chicanery. Have your $5 right here in some place. How was I put that $5 bill? Let me look through my pocket.
That guy's the right thing, and he has to stick his hands under an anvil to get a manicure.
And we better keep an eye on the anvil, too.
Now, let me see. $5 bill, $5 bill. Where did I put that $5 bill? Ah, here it is. No, 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 I didn't need it. That's a photograph of my cousin, Guernsey Boomer.
The good heaven, don't let it interfere.
Not naturally, my dear. But he's been living out of town on rail so often his knees have lost touch with each other. Now, let me see. Here's an advertisement for asbestos seat covers. Very handy for driving hot cars. Package of corn remover. Here, give some of your script writers. Postcard from Minnie the Moocher. Ha-ha, the dear girl. Says she's now a face in the shoes in Texas. The little panhandler. Small bottle of mint sauce in case I want to take it on the land. The check for short there. Oh, no, imagine that. The whole $5 bill. Wonder if it could have blown out the window. I'll go out the door and see.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. First portion of Fibber McGee and Molly, a broadcast from October 24th, 1939. You probably recognize Hal Perry as the great Gildersleeve. He later went on to his own show in the first spinoff, right?
McGee, did Mr. Gildersleeve show you his new automatic phonograph that plays both sides of 12 records without stopping?
Yeah, wonderful.
It was wonderful while you saw him off soon.
I'll say it is. Just out of curiosity, I dropped the sleeping tablet in the needle box and it's been playing A Man in His Dream for 20 minutes.
Johnny! Oh, dear! What a party, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is, Mr. Oldtimer.
Woo!
He says, yes, it is. People go to parties for the same reason bald-headed guys go to burlesque shows. They at least have the illusion of letting their hair down.
I hit it. The president's secretary said to him, "Hey, Mr. Roosevelt," he said, "I haven't seen you or made any appointments for next week." "What?" says Mr. Roosevelt. "I thought I'd do my Christmas shopping early." "Well, they're going to the room, Johnny. They're bobbing for apples, and I got to get my girl out of there. She's a pippin."
Well, keep on reading, you know.
Oh, there,
folks. How's everything going?
Oh, just fine, Mr. Gildersleeve.
By the way, when do we eat, Rocky?
Well, we're serving a buffet supper a little later.
Hot dog, you knew that, Mom. A buffet supper.
Oh, that's the least favorite kind of a meal, Mr. Gildersleeve. He goes around the buffet table like three biscuits on a fast pass.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
But before we have dinner, folks, we're going to have a little more fun. Mrs. Uppington's going to tell somebody's fortune.
Oh.
Oh, yes, they're drawing names from the other room now to see who the lucky man
is. Oh, yes.
Hey, it looks like you're up for these. Oh, this would be very amusing.
Yes. It's the first party we ever went to where McGee stuck out his hand instead of his neck.
Hurry up, folks.
Oh, 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 Mr. McGee. I hope you don't mind having your fortune told.
That's no, Uppy. As the chicken says when he busted out of the egg, I guess the future is worth taking a peek at. Which one do you want to read?
Well, that depends, Mr. McGee. Are you right or left-handed?
Well, I think he's left-handed. He went for the lunch check with his right hand today and fumbled terribly.
Well, then give me my left hand, Mr. McGee.
Okay, here we are. I'll meet Mrs. Uppington. Mrs. Uppington, my father.
I mean, I'm going to go. Oh, no, that was a joke. Why did I do it? Now they've left it on my glasses. I didn't have them on the last time I paid a man's fortune, and I was horribly embarrassed, you know.
Why, Mrs. Uppington?
Oh, my dear. He had 15 gloves on, and I told him I could see him lying on a plate with two fried eggs and a piece of toast.
Well, I'll get busy, Uppington.
Now, first you come to the method of inclusion.
Oh, you will. Get a hold of this, folks.
The intelligence is indicated by small mounds at the base of the fingers.
But mounds, I ain't got any mounds.
And now, this line, this is the lifeline.
Oh, thought out. I'm going down to the third diamond.
Oh, no, lifeline tells me that... Oh, good heavens. Stop, Mrs. Uppington. Oh, Mrs. McGee, I was just to inform you that your husband has been dead for 12 years.
Very good, Abigail, very good. Don't walk me up there with a couple more games before supper is served. Have you any suggestions?
You know, I think it would be fun if we turned out the lights and told ghosts.
Oh, okay. I have an idea. Everybody sit down, folks. I'll turn out the lights.
What did you tell the first ghost story, folks?
Hey, what do you know about telling ghost stories, Billy?
Me? Why, Chef, I've been expert on ghost stories ever since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get them across the creeks before I could walk. I made quite a study of ghost stories. That was every time I'd walk into somebody's yard, folks would shake their heads and look grave. Graveyard McGee, I was no doubt. Graveyard McGee, the cleanest guy that ever gave goose flesh to a gay gathering with McGorry and Goose and Goblin Gavin. Getting guys caught to great gobs of gas and going on. Galvanizing groups of gay and green horns with gallows and golden killers. And garnering the greatest bag of golden ghosts from the dusty gales of the green iron streets with a giddy ow! Oh, thank you, mate.
All right, McGee, if you know so much about ghost stories, you go ahead and tell one.
Okay, well, let me think about it. I know one, shall I tell? Well, it happened one night when I was driving through the swamps of Louisiana. When suddenly my engine went dead. And there I was stranded, miles from nowhere, and a storm coming up. I had to find shelter somewhere, so I walked up the road to a deserted-looking, ramshackle old house. But before I could knock, the door swung slowly open.
Okay. Excuse me, folks. My foot was asleep. I was scraping on the road. Hey, go ahead, Johnny.
Well, as soon as my eyes got used to the darkness, I saw a ghost of human figure. I heard a hollow voice say, "Where's my head?"
Oh, didn't you come in? You hollered in for clothes.
Was I? My nerves were waving back and forth like windshield wipers. I took myself in hand and I said, "I'm sorry, buddy, but I haven't got your head. Where'd you leave it?" And the ghost said, "Right in this house. I came home one day. When I saw the kitchen floor looking so dull and dingy, streaked and worn, I flew into a rage.
Sasha.
I lost my head and bawled my wife out something terrible. Gee, I wish I hadn't done it. because I know now what I should have got. But by that time, I had the door open again, and I ran like the dickens.
Well, what was the point of that story, Mr. Wilcox?
Well, the point is that if you're haunted by the appearance of dough painted on the clean linoleum floor, just try Johnson's Glow Coat. The no rubbing, no buffing floor polish that's so easy to use. And keeps linoleum looking new indefinitely. And not only that, okay. You pull the plug, now get out of this house. Turn the lights on, somebody.
Just a moment, folks. I think supper's ready, so if you want to step into the dining
room. Oh, come on, McGee. What are you waiting for?
You go ahead, Ma. I'll be in later. I got something I want to do. What kind of a Halloween day? Don't say anything to anybody. Now, I'll be back in a little while.
Why is it dark out here?
I like to see Gilda's new face tomorrow when he looks in his garage.
Hey, get away from me. Look there. Yeah, that's right for grandma.
Oh, there, little girl. It's so dark out here, I didn't see you. What you doing? I said, what you doing?
Thank you. You know, I've been having a fun, too. Sticking out with Bob's pants and second members and strong suits on everything.
Now you are, eh?
Yeah.
Well, this is a good night for us, sis. Incidentally, you know the difference between a ghost and a fellow with a sprained ankle?
No.
So one's a half goblin and the other's a gobble. I said, one is a half goblin. Oh, never mind. You run along and have your fun, sis. I got some private business to attend to.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
Never mind.
Now, this would have been in somebody's dad, I bet you.
No, no, I
am. Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, no, I
am. Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, no. Listen, you run along and have your fun, and I'll go and have mine.
Oh, thanks, Sammy, Dolph.
God let it because I snuck it. Listen, you know whose garage this is?
Yes, it's Mr. Dolph, I guess.
I'm Mr. McGee. I live right next door here.
Yes.
I'm going to play a Halloween trick on Mr. Dolph's place. Now look, I'm going to sneak in the Gildersleeve's garage and let all the air out of his car. Will that be a panic or won't it?
Yeah.
Why, sure it will. Boy, when old Gildersleeve comes out in the morning, right, now don't make too much noise.
You're missing all our minds, I guess.
Well, come on now, you want to be known, let's help me put this garage door open.
Yeah, he's having a fun.
Wish it wasn't so dark in here, but I don't dare strike a light. Now look, sis, you let the air out of the tires on that side, and I'll do the same on this side. You know how to let the air out?
Yes. I'll let the air out of five tires or anything out of it.
Okay, go ahead.
Rick, that's a damn good idea, Mr.
I thought it was pretty good myself, sir. But don't you ever tell him.
Say, Mr., the tires that's out on this side.
Okay, stand here now, sir. Now, remember, this is a secret between you and me. Yes. I've got to get back to the party now.
Okay. You know any more riddles, Mr.?
Huh? No, I don't know any more riddles.
I do.
Huh?
What's the difference between a peanut butter sandwich and a policeman?
Peanut butter sandwich and a policeman? I'm sorry, sir. I'm afraid I don't know the difference between a peanut butter sandwich and a policeman.
I know.
Yeah?
I guess that's your talk after, mister, because here comes the policeman now.
What?
Hey,
what are you doing?
Oh, Mr.
McGee,
what are you doing?
Look, Donald Rover, son, with a song in my heart. With a song in my heart, I behold your adorable face. Just a song at the time. But it soon is a funeral grace. When the music swells, I'm touching your hand. It's her that you're standing in. And at the sound of your voice, heaven opens its water to me. And I have what we came to be, but I always knew I would live life through with a song in my heart. Oh, my God.
sorry you folks have to leave so early, but I'm mighty glad you could come over, really.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Gildersleeve. My, folks, been a simply marvelous party.
Now, you bet the rocky, old man. You sure know how to throw a party.
Oh, it was lovely. Say goodnight to Mrs. Gildersleeve for me.
And you too, Gildersleeve. She's a wonderful cook, that wife is. Tell her how we had a terrific time tonight.
I certainly will. I'm sorry she was so busy in the kitchen she couldn't meet any of you folks. But you must call her again sometime.
Oh, well, did I have my shoes brought from somewhere, Mr. McGee?
Oh, no, thank you, Mrs. Eppington. We just live next door.
Well, good night. We've had a wonderful time, Mr. Gildersleeve. Good night.
Good night, Gildersleeve.
Good night, Mr. McGee. Good night, Timmy.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Boy, what a lousy party.
Whoever told them they knew how to entertain.
Yeah. Old Gildersleeve and his expensive cigars. Look at him. Dry as a bone. All ten of them.
Well, I'm going right up to bed, dear. I'm tired.
Yeah, well, I'm tired too.
My goodness, I hope I don't have bad dreams from that terrible food. Could you taste those odd dinners, maybe?
Oh, it's tempting to me. Imagine that. Imagine that Eppington trying to sell fortune soon. I think I'll get her a crystal 8-ball for Christmas.
Now go drop your shoes there on the floor, right, with somebody to stumble over them.
Well, they're on my side of the bed. I'll be the one to stumble over them.
Send me the cold cream, dear.
Okay.
Thanks. You notice the cheap towels in the bathroom? They're like limp sandpaper.
You sure? Oh, you scare me with all that cold cream on your face, Molly. Why didn't you wear that mask to the party? Imagine a new fogey's playing post office at that age. Ain't one of them with sufficient postage.
What time I set the clock for? Oh, not too early, dearie. I want to sleep before 5 in the morning.
No, you ain't too happy. I might like that.
That ghost story of Mr. Whitney.
Yeah.
I'll get the sponsor haunt him.
Now, where those people are? You see the old timer? He was chasing the hammer on like a actor's agent. Somewhere, don't fit as well as it did a few years ago, Ma.
It doesn't?
Getting a little snug around the ankles. Where's my pajamas? Oh, here they are.
Hang up those pants.
No, no, I'll hang them up in the morning. Oh, baby, does this bed feel good to Papa? Mind me to tell you sometime about the trick I pulled on Gildersleeve tonight, Ma.
Oh, what a party that was. Oh, good night, dear. Oh, I wonder who that was at this time of night. 79 was from Victor Martin McGee, Susan. Oh, yes. Oh! So that was real soft, Elijah. I'm sure he was thinking of it. Thank you so much. Yes, we had a simply wonderful time. Yes. Good night. McGee, that was Mr. Gildersleeve.
Why, that stuff sure it was.
Well, he really did the favor.
Mm-hmm.
He said he forgot to tell you while you were over there.
Yes, tell me what.
Well, his car was downtown being repaired, and he saw us standing in the alley, and he was afraid the Halloween prankster would hurt it, so he put it in his own garage.
Oh, my goodness. Tell me, Mr.
What?
get the hell out of my own car.
Mr. Mallow will be back in just a moment.
Mr. Johnson.
Oh, no, you're a sweet Republican.
Oh.
Good night.
Good night, Al.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Lights and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, Racing, Wisconsin, inviting you all to be with us again next Tuesday night at this same time. Good night.